everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a slimy friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful narwhal. Now, I know that slimy might not be the best description, as maybe a squirrel is furry, but because those are the three sort of adjectives that I've chosen for the past, 70-something episodes, I usually have to try to fit them in one or the other. Regardless, this is a very special listener episode dedicated to Annie, who wrote in via email, and this episode would not be possible without you, Annie, and this podcast would not be possible without each and every one of you out there listening and joining me and giving me the opportunity to have such good company as we explore the different habitats for our different animals. If you want to learn about a certain animal that you heard about and you think is very cool and you think everyone else would like to learn too, you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com or send a message to relaxwithanimalfacts on Instagram. As the time of this recording, the Instagram is still not letting me log in, and their customer support has not replied in close to 3 weeks. So I am still, as of this episode's release, not able to reply to you guys on the Instagram. If you sent me a message on Instagram, please send me an email if you would like, because I am just dying to know what you guys are sending me on Instagram. And let's hope that they let me in the near future. So we have quite a long episode this time around. I think it will be a long episode because this is an animal which has some really cool facts, and there is nothing short but an abundance of them. So let's go into the review portion of the episode so we can go straight into our relaxation portion. This review is coming all the way from Great Britain and is written by KMC020 or 020. And KMC writes, "I've worked with animals for over 12 years, but hearing facts and about animals, even facts I know, read out by Steph to a level that everyone can understand, I find so peaceful. I can just relax and enjoy animal facts, as it says on the tin." Thank you so very much, KMC, for the very kind review and for putting a big old smile on my face. I love reading your reviews, and let me say that I think your review would be a good sort of marketing thing to do in Great Britain, where it just says, "I can just relax and enjoy animal facts, as it says on the tin." That is one of the more British things I have read today, and I have to say that it really gives me a big old stupid grin on my face. So again, thank you for that review, and thank you to all of you who continue to leave reviews. I can only read one per week, But if you find the show helpful for you, like KMC does, please leave a 5-star review because it helps more people come to the show and it really supports the show in its growth. So now let me just say where I got my facts from for this episode so we can go into the portion that I know you guys are waiting for. So I got my facts from 3 different places this time. One is oceanexplorer.noaa.gov. Another one is factanimal.com. And lastly, I got the name fact from etimonline.com. So if you want to learn more about narwhals, and I'm sure many other animals, you can visit those resources, which I will leave in the show notes of this episode. And now let us go through our bodies to see where we're carrying some tension. I can tell you guys that so many times during the day I'll notice, you know, a very big tension in my neck or in my head, wherever it is for you today. It could be in your legs or in your arms. Do your best with me to try to relax those parts of your body. And in my case today, it is definitely my head. So relax with me as we go into this immersive experience with me, Steph Wolf, into the Arctic waters where the narwhal resides. So let us first define what is a narwhal. A narwhal is a medium-sized toothed whale that is only found in Arctic waters. So the narwhal is an odontocete or toothed whale, but it is different from all other toothed whales in that the teeth are not actually in its mouth. Instead, the male narwhals will have this signature, very long, single, straight tooth, or some say tusk, that will protrude 2 to 3 meters out of the upper left jaw. And the females will almost never have a tusk, and this tooth will grow always in a counterclockwise spiral. For those of you that have never seen a narwhal, it is one of those animals that you look at and it can almost bring you to a sense of confusion or awe because of how unique they look. It is like the platypus, for example, where you just kind of scratch your head and shrug your shoulders and say, okay, I guess that is the way it is, and it must be that way for a reason. I think it's particularly interesting that the tooth of a narwhal grows in a counterclockwise spiral as opposed to a normal clockwise spiral. I wonder why that is, or if it has any significant advantage in terms of structural stability or something. I don't know if any of you out there are narwhal experts and know the answer to that question. Feel free to write in and I can talk about it on the next episode. There are many legends about this tusk of the narwhal. It is essentially the origin of the myth of the unicorn, as European whalers that were in the Arctic could catch narwhals and bring tusks back to Europe with great stories about what kind of animals the tusks were attached to. Now, I can totally understand this being the case. You get these sort of European whaler fathers coming home to their children with these long tusks, and they are just aching at the bones to make something up to make their kids go, "Wow, Dad, that is so amazing." So I can't blame them, and I can't say that I would have done anything different. You can imagine finding an animal with some amazing characteristic that your region has never seen before, and all the stories that you can make up are just waiting at your fingertips. So that is very cool that we are seeing the start of the unicorn sort of mythology happening here. In terms of the actual biology of the animal, the tusk is used for social structure to establish a dominance hierarchy that is very common in the animal kingdom. And this tusk will be used to establish the ranks of the males within the groups of narwhals, which are known as pods. And let's go more into what they look like. They have a black and white mottled skin pattern and are completely white underneath. This coloration contributed to their name, which we are going to leave until the end of the episode and not spoil it right in the beginning. But not very much is known up to now about the narwhal, particularly because they are challenging to study. They live in very remote places in the world, far from civilizations, in a habitat that is almost pitch black for half of the year, covered in ice for half the year. So that means that the access to these animals is not in a very large abundance like some of the other animals that we've covered on the show. What we do know about the narwhal is that they have adapted to be one of the deepest diving marine mammals, capable of diving to depths of more than 1,800 meters, which is just over 5,900 feet, and they will spend a large amount of their time below 800 meters, or about 2,600 feet. Not many animals can sustain such intense pressures below the surface of the water and stay underwater for very long. So we see here the narwhal is really taking the gold medal in terms of being able to withstand those very high pressures. As many of you know, the deeper you go into the water, the more pressure that will build up. And for those of you that have maybe gone snorkeling or wanted to dive down to the deep end of your pool, you can feel that kind of pressure in the head. But the narwhals will continue to go down much deeper than the bottom of your pool, up to about 1,800 meters, or as we said, 5,900 feet. Now, personally, I have a very hard time getting to the bottom of a pool without my head feeling like it is about to explode. So I have to give these guys some credit. The primary prey of the narwhal include Greenland halibut, which is a kind of fish, also cod, specifically polar and Arctic cod, shrimp, and gonatus squid. They will change their diets seasonally, feeding intensely in the winter and eating quite little during the ice-free summer season. Scientists believe the narwhal's intense winter feeding period may be an adaptation to relatively low productivity in the high Arctic summering areas, or perhaps even a behavioral trait to avoid competition with lower latitude whales that are feeding in the summer. So we can see here that there are some competing theories as to their feeding patterns. But what we do know is that many animals are very sort of adaptive and will make the most out of their environment, or if need be, try to make life work in a slightly different environment. Nature has a very beautiful way of sort of balancing itself. And when we take one variable out, say we take out the shrimp that the narwhals are used to feeding on, and let's say that it is sort of one of the main sources of their food, this can result in major consequences for the narwhal species and can affect the food chain much lower down as well. The narwhal, specifically the male narwhal, will weigh between 1,760 to 3,530 pounds. For those of you that prefer kilograms, don't worry, you don't have to pull out the calculator. It is about 800 to 1,600 kilograms. So obviously not anything to sneeze at. These are medium-sized whales and toothed whales at that. And one of the first Englishmen to find a narwhal was the explorer Martin Frobisher in 1577, when he laid eyes on a dead narwhal, describing it as a sea unicorn. And now you can imagine sort of traversing the seas as an Englishman explorer in the 1500s and coming across a huge animal with a tusk that is up to 2 meters in length. What an exciting discovery it must have been for Martin Frobisher. Around 1 in 500 narwhal males will have 2 tusks. Imagine that, and the other tusk will grow from the front right side of its upper jaw, so it will have 2 of these kinds of javelins instead of 1. I wonder if any of the 2 tusked narwhal males are at the top of their male kind of hierarchy in their pods. Or maybe in cases like this where there is sort of mutation and something happens out of the regular, it could actually be detrimental. So I would love to see if there is any research on that. The narwhals will also use their tusks to hunt for fish. Drone footage of wild narwhals captured by researchers from WWF Canada shows them using their spiral tusk to hunt fish, but it appears that they use it to kind of hit and stun the prey rather than piercing them like you would think. And their tusks exhibit a sensory ability due to nerve endings that enable it to detect water salinity changes. So we can see just how many benefits this tusk gives the narwhal, and in ways that I certainly wouldn't have thought. And a study in 2014 suggests that narwhals are able to use their tusks to sense changes around them in the water, from saltiness and even to things like temperature and pressure so their tusks can act as a possible thermostat and also barometer. Wow, that is so cool. But like all theories, this is hotly debated by scientists. I would love to be in a heated debate about narwhals, not because I know anything, but because it is just something that I think one is to be proud of, that they are part of a very hot debate about a toothed whale. Females will give birth to a calf once every 3 years, and that pregnancy will last for about 14 months, and the calves are born in the spring. Narwhals are mammals, which means they give birth and also have milk available for their young, and their young will be dependent on this milk for about 20 months, so close to 2 years. Now, we know that they like the Arctic waters, and what this means is that they are going to have a way to stay warm. While we may have jackets and scarves and all those sorts of things, the narwhals instead choose to have a high percentage of body fat and blubber. They are about 50% body fat, and their blubber, which acts as this kind of insulator, is about 3 to 4 inches thick. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but if you were to take a ruler or measuring tape of any kind and take it out to the 3 to 4 inches mark, we can see how blubber, which is an incredible insulator, when stacked 3 to 4 inches thick, will act as this marine jacket. And the final fact before the name narwhal is that you can adopt a narwhal if you'd like. If you go to WWF, they have ways of adopting different animals, and one of them being a narwhal. I believe I saw some adorable little plush narwhal that you get in response to adopting a narwhal. And now let us go to the final fact of the episode, which is the name narwhal. Where is this coming from? Well, in the 1650s, from Danish and Norwegian folks, they called them narwhals. And this is probably coming from an old Norse word, which is narvaler. And this means, in a literal translation, corpse whale. The word na, which is just the letters N and A, mean corpse, and hvaler mean whale. If this is right, it was likely called this because of its whitish color resembling that of a corpse. But according to nature writer Barry Lopez and Winfred P. Lemon, who is a professor of Germanic linguistics, suggested the name was folk etymology and said narwhaler was a West Norse term meaning whale distinguished by a long, narrow projection. And I have to say that that is a very accurate way of describing this amazing creature. Wow, this was such a packed episode filled with so many cool facts that I didn't know about. I hope that most of you out there were able to learn or at least relax to these facts. There are no quizzes, there are no tests. Whatever you retain from these episodes is just gravy along with your relaxation. If you want to learn about an animal, make sure to write in to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can also send a message to relaxwithanimalfacts on Instagram. But keep in mind, I am still locked out as of the recording of this episode. If you want to help this show grow and reach more people so that we can have more company together from all around the world to learn about these furry, scaly, or slimy friends, I really encourage you to leave a review on Apple Podcasts if that is how you listen, but just know that it is not at all necessary. Your listenership is plenty and means the world to me, and I always get so excited to hear from you guys and know that you just started listening, and what a joy it is to me to do this every single week. Thank you to those of you who support the show via Patreon or other ways by subscribing to YouTube. Your support does not go unnoticed. So thank you for joining me, and I hope to see you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.